Oh, they've done it! Steven Gerrada, an instant hero! Can you believe this? Plenty attacking! No, no! The comeback is complete! A stunning second half from Schalke!
Blau-Weiß, sein Leben lang, herzlich willkommen zurück auf Shark America. Joining me as always, my co-host Jack Mangan. Jack, how are you holding up?
Doing all right. I think the chat is maybe doing a little bit worse as we have references to Chernobyl already. So, yeah, the circus continues. We just don't know what to make of this team, kind of week to week, performance to performance. While we did escape this encounter with Hertha without, you know, a former Schalke player scoring against us, the men, Fabian Reza, did have three direct goal involvements, all three of those being assists. Absolutely terrorized us, defensively shambolic again. Fourth time in nine games in the second half of the season that we've conceded at least three goals. Wow. You just can't, I mean, you can't survive doing that. Like, so that's just got to stop at some point. Interested to hear what you make of it.
It was shambolic, probably an understatement. A shit show by both teams, honestly, in the first half, but ultimately we were the shittier of the two teams. A lot to get into tonight. Kind of quick rundown of what we're doing tonight. We're obviously going to talk about the recap of Hertha Berlin matchup. We kind of have to. The fallout of that, how we feel afterwards. Where are we going from there? Club Brugge, are they sniffing around at Carl Gerhardt's? We'll get into that. There was a financial update by the Schalke Supervisory Board. We'll talk about what was talked about in that meeting, specifically Christina Ruhlhammers and what she said. We will talk about what that means for next season with the finances that they talked about. International call-ups, do we actually have any? We'll get into that. And then we'll figure out what we're doing during the international break. Because luckily, there's no Schalke, so we can't lose another week. So, but let's get into the unfortunate business that is our job, which is talk a little Schalke and the matchup that was against Hertha Berlin. 5-2 game. I was active in the Discord, and I jumped in 30 minutes into the game. You know, I jumped in late because I was doing something before the game started. And it's already 2-2, you know, 30 minutes in. I'm like, what the heck is this? So I had to rewind from the beginning and, like, catch up. And, wow. But lineups real quick. The home team, which is Hertha Berlin. In goal, Gersbeck. Back four of Zifuk, Gechter, Dardai, and Karbovonik. Midfield five of Dudziak, Clemens, Winkler, Matza, Fabian Riza, who you mentioned, and Tabakovic. Interesting lineup. Nothing really, no real world beaters on this team. However, as you mentioned, there is a former Schalke player on the team. And what do we always say when there's a Schalke player on the other team? At least one, it's a 50% chance they're going to score or win. Definitely score. But thoughts on Hertha's lineup and the return of a former player?
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of players that hurt us in this game. As we said already, I mean, defensively, shambolic. There's opportunities popping up all over the place. Obviously, Tabakovic, as you mentioned, with a brace. Fabian Reza was all over this game, not just the three assists, but had a number of other opportunities that he created that were, you know, still chances on target, that sort of thing. Basically was able to get to the end line and play something in at will, it seems like, in this game. Winkler had a really strong game as well. Dudziak at times popping up on the left and feasting it around the box as well, as it wasn't just Reza there. Yeah, a lot of fluidity, I think, from Hertha in this game. People popping up on opposite sides of the field. Schalke kind of narrow, and then really taking advantage of the width that we allowed them to have. And I don't know. I think it's arguably less about the Hertha lineup, you know, sans Reza, and more about who was in the Schalke starting 11, especially defensively. You know, when you have like a Trishiani-Schallenberg partnership on sort of the right side of the fence, there's only so much that you can sort of be surprised about if things don't go, you know, swimmingly on that side of the pitch, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. Another name that's worth noting, a noted Schalke thorn, Florian Niederlechner. We've known him from Augsburg in the Bundesliga, and now he's with Hertha Berlin. He is just a persistent thorn in our sides anytime we played against them. Looking at our lineup in this one, obviously Mueller and goal. Back four, as you aforementioned, Schallenberg, Matriciani, and holding up the right side with Kalash and Merkin on the left. Latza in the middle instead of Seguin, who's suspended. Ouyang, Karaman, and Kabadai filling out that midfield with Simon Torota and Brian Lassma up top. Obviously, you mentioned already Schallenberg, Matriciani being a big issue. Eric, who's in the chat, even mentioned, and many of us in the Discord mentioned, there's a big hole in the middle. You got Latza, and it's basically leaving our players wide open to be exploited. It's what we saw pregame, and boy, did it come to fruition. But thoughts on the insertions of Latza in the holding six, plus the two right-sided defenders on this team?
It's tough to know kind of what the thought process was there. I mean, I guess from, Gerrard's perspective, you could argue that, Drexler obviously hasn't been getting around on the side. You're not going to really play him in that role anyway. Oi Drioga is just kind of getting back into the starting 11, and you're probably not going to play him in that six. So it's kind of like, who do you put there in the first place? And I get that. I don't know. If he really doesn't want Kaminsky starting at center back, so that he can't play Schallenberg in that role, I get it. But if you're moving Schallenberg to defense with Matriciani, and then you're putting Latza essentially, this is just, it's not a team that has the physicality to cover a lot of ground. No. It's tough. So, yeah, I was surprised to see that, and I'm not surprised to see the way it went, ultimately.
Yeah, I don't think many of us were. Certainly, us chatting in those of us who were chatting in the Discord before said this is going to be a wide open game, unfortunately, and boy did that come to fruition. Literally in the first minute or first minute and a half of the game, you mentioned how that right side of the defense was really weak. It wasn't necessarily Fabian Riza this time, I think it was Dudziak, but nonetheless, you had Schallenberg losing his drawers completely, broken ankles on the play, Matriciani really not contributing on the play. They get a ball, comes in the middle. I think Kalash maybe got a piece of it, or Mueller, but it got behind, tapping for Tomakovic. 1-0 right away, and I'm like, God, I mean, what the heck is going on? Like, a minute into the game, minute and a half into the game, this is the worst start you could have, I thought, in this. With thoughts on what you saw during the defense on that goal, opening goal there.
Indicative of what we were going to see for the rest of the game. Matriciani, I don't think Matriciani gets megged on the initial pass, but he's kind of pulled up a little bit higher, gets beaten by that ball. Schallenberg has to get pulled out wide to try to cover that end area because Matriciani's up. And as you said, Dudziak just eats Schallenberg for breakfast, gets him to have to change directions multiple times, kind of looking over his shoulder, and fires a ball in low. Neither Kalash nor Mueller can keep it out. And it ultimately squirts to Tabakovic, who is sitting there essentially unmarked in the center of the box. So, bad start on multiple levels. You were hoping that, from that point they'd be able to calm down, but Hertha kind of kept attacking down that side, and we seemed to not really do a whole lot to adjust to that in terms of our approach. So not surprising to see how it went, just a few minutes later.
No. But it seemed like Schalke likes to keep us in the loop, keep us up, have that optimism with us, just because you never know. They'll give us that hope. They always give us that hope. And Schalke did really well to respond, I thought, right away. You immediately saw Schalke attacking through Kabadai on the right-hand side. He makes a move into the middle, looks for, I'm assuming, Karaman slips on the play. Ball goes past him, touches hand, maybe, maybe not. But it falls to Brian Lassma. Brian Lassma, opportunistic, takes his shot. It gets deflected, bounces, and finds, we just talked about Tabakovic being right place, right time, as a poacher should be. Simon Torota sitting right there, puts it away. 1-1, nice response by them. I thought at that point, I knew where it got to, but, if you're watching there and you see the goal happen, you're like, okay, better. They kind of were back at zero again. Let's clean up, but at least nice to see that response so quick against the first goal from Hertha Berlin, I thought.
Yeah, no, definitely agree. Kabadai, again, who has been, dangerous recently and has had some big moments for us, receives the ball. Clever feet to kind of pull it back towards the center. As you mentioned, he tries to find Karaman. I think it's actually a ball that's slightly behind Karaman, which is probably why he slips and falls down, because he's trying to stop his momentum and he can't do it. So, yeah, he slips. But Lassma circles back around that and gets a shot off. And look, Tirada hasn't gotten, you know, as much playing time as maybe we would have anticipated had he been, you know, playing better. But, like, this is a perfect example of why sometimes it's all about just, like, chance creation in general and just getting shots on target. Because when Tirada's in that kind of form in terms of decisiveness in front of goal, he doesn't even need to be involved in that play at all to have something squirt and he puts it away. And not the only time he did it in this game. So that to me, yep, is sort of Tirada at his best, is sort of that decisiveness and, you know, just to poach those chances. So if we can, you know, keep that activity up around him, Karaman, Kavadai, Lazma, these are more energetic people up top that can, you know, stretch the field a little bit and create some chances. And we did see some of that offensively for Schalke this game. It wasn't like, we had more chances than we scored as well. So, but yeah, I love that from Tirada. Yeah, I know he's had that, you know, that goal-scoring drought. Nice to see him get on the score sheet earlier. Like you said, that response was massive, because to go down a minute and a half in on the road at Hertha, not ideal.
Yeah, really a tale of two different strikers in different forms. Tomakovic, who's been on a nice form this year, getting his goal and multiple goals. And then Tirada, who's been on the opposite end, who's been in a drought, basically, and right place, right time. And a lot goes back to, you know, 2 years ago when he had his 30-goal season for us, a lot of the goals were like this. It wasn't like he was creating chances. It was like he's right place, right time. The players around him were taking shots, you know, looking for him, and then he just decisive and puts it away when he gets the opportunity. And a lot of the times we talked about how, like, you don't see Tirada for 80 minutes of the game, but all of a sudden two goals, and you're like, that's Tirada for you. And that's what it was in this game. So 1-1 at that point, you were thinking, okay, maybe the ship is steadied, but no, minutes later, Fabian Riza, the MVP of the match, honestly, comes on the right-hand side, embarrasses the whole right side of the defense, in particular Marchisiani, but, you know, as well as Schallenberg. And I think he splits the defense there and then kind of goes down and beats Kalash and centers it. And Tabakovic again taps it in, 2-1 at that point. Again, identical goal, almost. Different player in terms of setting it up, but identical play where they just embarrass the right side of the defense and get in front of the goal, and goal happens.
Before I address Fabian Reza absolutely decimating, you know, the right side of our defense, I did want to mention, I could be wrong, I may be misremembering this, but I believe sort of that chance is created initially because there's a loose ball that's played kind of generally in the direction of Donny Lazza, and for some reason he thinks it's going to roll, yes, to a teammate or something. He has every ability to pick that ball up and gain possession of it and just sees that it's, like, kind of going to a Schalke player-ish. So he's like, oh, I'll just let it run. Well, it doesn't. It's picked up by a Hertha player, funneled out to Reza. Reza, Megs. I think this is the same play. Megs, Matriciani, yes, and Cavadai is not, you know, not helping. Same thing as kind of like, you know, the first goal they scored. And then, yeah, Tabakovic is in the exact same spot. And then Danny Lazza, who just, you know, kind of created this opportunity in the first place, is marking nobody, doesn't shoulder check, doesn't get in front of Tabakovic, doesn't have his body on anybody. And then Fabian Reza, like, as he's, you know, diving towards that, you know, that near post, is able to just very quickly and decisively whip it across between, I think it's like Kalish maybe, who goes to ground to kind of block that near post shot. And Lazza, and then Tabakovic stops home again, and it's like a carbon copy of the first goal. But once again, just like, I mean, liquid football from Fabian Reza, just silk, man. I mean, just... Yeah, yeah, slaloming through, decisive pass. Really happy for him because, yeah, he didn't really get much of an opportunity at Schalke. And it seems like, especially the last, like, 18 months to, you know, 2 years, sort of, yeah, really kind of, like, get something going in his career. And, man, he absolutely terrorized us today. I hated it. It wasn't good.
It wasn't good at all. And, yeah, it was Kapadai, not Schallenberg on that play. But nonetheless, jocks were left on the pitch there after Fabian Reza undressed everybody. So 2-1 at that point, and none of the defenses or none of the issues that we had in the first goal were corrected on the second goal. Granted, it was 10 minutes later, and that's still worrying some at that point. Schalke were still putting an effort and getting into the game, and it was maybe 10 minutes later or so. Again, Karaman's coming down. He's trying to create something out of nothing. He's trying to force his way through, like, 2-3 players. Ball bounces around and falls right for Tirada. Again, decisive, right in the middle, gets his brace too. So you got both strikers now just sitting in front of the goal and poaching away and getting their goals. And at least at that point, I felt like, okay, well, I think that someone in the chat, it might have been Eric, honestly, in the chat said, like, all right, first one to five is going to win this game because 2-2 at this point. And you're like, what the hell's going on? The strikers are having a field day just by sitting and not doing anything. But 2-2, How did you feel at that time? Obviously, our defense is crap, but so was theirs. And there was a hope, I think, for me that, okay, well, it's going to be a goal fest. We're going to have, you know, 6-7 goals in this game by both teams. At least we have an opportunity then. What were your thoughts?
I felt relieved. I mean, when you concede goals like that so quickly in the same way, I mean, you're just thinking, like, we're conceding goals. I mean, I wouldn't say cheaply conceding goals, but, you know, like, I mean, it's going to be a long day for us. And so to somehow find ourselves back in this game even – despite that was, you know, I think surprising. Some of you were hoping you were going to take advantage of, but obviously did not result that way. But a really nice bit of possession, actually, from Schalke on that second goal. Probably one of the best balls of possession in the first half. You're seeing that sort of Merkin Owian, I think, double stack on the left-hand side with the overloads come into play on this play as well. We talked about that potentially being something we can see more of with the addition of, like, Lasma and, like, a Caraman Central. This is more along, in terms of the attacking sense at least, I think some of, like, the lineup decisions and kind of shapes and stuff that, you know, we had kind of been pushing for over the last couple months. And I think it's useful, yeah, when some of these build-ups sort of end in at the feet of Caraman, kind of right at the top central part of the box. That's the first shot of goal as well. He funnels it out to Cavadai, gets it right back at the top center. Like, when those possessions end in that way, or from, like, an Owian cross, like, that's kind of optimum. And right here you see it again. Caraman gets it, has a decision either to make a shot, take a dribble, kind of loses, you know, control or whatever, but it squirts out to Tirana. And then, as you said, like, exact same thing. Once again, we talk about carbon copy goals. Carbon copy for Tirana again, and just even more decisive than the first one. Just, like, it actually kind of reminded me, you know, like, almost like a foosball goal. Yeah, you know what I mean? Where just, like, somebody just, like, spins it suddenly, and it just, like, it's just, it, like, it was that kind of thing. It was so quick from him and gets it in. And I don't know, I'd love to see it. Brace for Tirana early on, pulls us back on the road. And, you know, at this point, it's anyone's game, I guess, given how wide open it was. But it was only one team that kind of had the joy for the rest of the match, unfortunately.
Yeah, that joy kind of started for them about 10 minutes after that goal or so. Instead of coming and exploiting the right-hand side, they said, let's see what the left-hand side is like. It wasn't any harder for them. They come down, whether it was Oyon and Merkin, certainly Merkin, but whoever else was involved in that play, non-existent, leaving Mueller out to dry. He comes up, tries to block Winkler. Great finish by him to put it away. But again, sixes and sevens would be flattering for the defense. It was atrocious defending again. Wasn't just the right side this time. It was the left-hand side. And so they come in, boom, 3-2 lead at this point. At this point, it's like, shit. Okay, we're struggling here. Let's just get the hell to halftime because we can't stop anybody. Anytime they come down, they're going to score a goal, it seems like.
Yeah, and like I said, opposite side didn't really matter. Lots of, you know, struggling to kind of keep up with people in transition. And then Kalash, like, don't know what he's doing on this play either. He is pinching way too narrow and not alive to Winkler's kind of run behind him at all. So he kind of allows that ball to be played in because he's not, you know, kind of protecting for that pass. And then once that ball does get played in, he turns around and then overcommits with his, like, run and just slides right by Winkler as he cuts back in and then beats Mueller. So, I mean, I don't know. To me, that's a pretty bad sequence from Kalash. You know, allows the initial ball, fails to stop, you know, Winkler in the box there. And then, yeah, it's just another one that's probably easier than the first two, honestly. So, super disappointing.
Yeah, and it's upsetting at this point. Obviously how we're playing or not playing defensively. And it felt like we needed to make like 10 substitutions, 9 substitutions in that first half, because outside of Tirana doing his job, just poaching goals away, and Mueller making save after save, and really could have been 5 goals in that first half, honestly, maybe 6 in that first half. He had to make some big saves. Other than those two, nobody else really played well at all, not even remotely close, especially, and obviously the defense is going to take, defensive midfielder going to take the brunt of that. But it was horrible defending, and my only thought process was, okay, we're at halftime. Their defense is just as bad as ours. Let's make adjustments, stop that shit from the right-hand side, and maybe we have a chance in this game. Keep feeding Tirana because he has this opportunity to get a hat-trick in this game, as is Tomaković. And then again, we'll see. We'll talk about Winkler, but I thought, for the most part, first, and I think I mentioned this in a reaction pod, like first 55, 60 minutes for Mueller was actually pretty decent. He kept us in the game for the most part. At that point, it was only a 1-goal game at that point. And if not for him, it would have been a blowout much earlier than it was. And I thought the first 3 goals, I couldn't really fault him any of the first 3 goals. I thought he was just left out to dry, and just him trying to figure something out, pull something out of his ass, as he did for the other shots in the first half. I mean, what were your thoughts on how the first half and how Mueller played up until maybe the hour mark or so?
You could potentially raise an eyebrow about the first goal, right? Because that kind of, you know, squeaked past him as well. But yeah, I'm not blaming him obviously for the second one or the third one. Yeah, defense was atrocious, and I think, you know, Mark Wilmots, we'll talk about this obviously, I think, with some of the comments he made about the coach and everything. But you know, kind of mentioning individual mistakes and blaming individual mistakes for the result. I think that is the case sometimes with Schalke, and I think you can point to individual mistakes today. But I think structurally, like, these kind of opportunities were happening far too often. I think it was partially just like the personnel selection, particularly on like the back end of our team. But I don't know if I necessarily agree with that being the case. I think we were unable to control this game, and unable to limit some of these opportunities and these switches of play into the wide areas. So I remember as well, like in the first half, there was a play where Matriciani actually did stop Fabian Reza down, you know, that left, or sorry, right side of our defense, if you're calling it that way. You know, got up and immediately started like clapping and like, yeah, and, like, fist pumping. I get it. You had just kind of come back into the game twice after going behind. You're trying to get some emotion into it and everything. But that was like the 31st, 32nd minute. And I remember saying, okay, but you've been beaten like six times already in the first 30 minutes of this game. Like, what are you getting up and like pumping the air for? Yes. Like, you're getting eaten alive right now. Like, shut up and just like get back to it. Like, it was very strange. So I don't know. Pretty disastrous. I think we were fortunate to be in the game in the first half. Like you said, their defense was pretty poor as well. So, I mean, maybe not fortunate. Maybe we deserved it too. But, you know, some broken plays, some deflections that Toronto was able to capitalize on. And you were hoping we'd be able to get a few more clear-cut chances in the second half.
Yeah, I think once a substitution made, or once halftime came and went, of the two teams, Hertha made the actual adjustments. Schalke didn't seem to make any adjustments in terms of how they were going to play defense or play at all, at least defensively, I should say. And it wasn't until about that hour mark where, again, Fabian Riza, dismantling the whole right-hand side, gets a cross in. And while the first three goals, I'm not going to necessarily blame Mueller for, the fourth one's absolutely on him, because ball goes over the top in the middle. It's Winkler going up, it's Kalash going up, and it's Mueller going up. Mueller goes up and whiffs on the ball completely. Winkler just goes up and it hits him in the face and goes in a goal. He does what he's supposed to do, so he gets his brace. But Mueller completely whiffs on that shot. I mean, if you're not going to get the ball, take somebody out. I don't care. Like, that was completely his fault. And then we didn't, you know, as many great saves he made up to that point, I was like, shit, we can't have you falling apart either and letting that goal. And now it's 4-2, and it's insurmountable at this point, I think.
Yeah, that was the first time the lead had kind of gotten to that point where it was just, you know, more than a one goal lead. I think Mueller probably misjudges that. I think it's poor footwork in sort of the first part of that sequence. His first couple of steps aren't strong enough, and in the last couple he's scrambling to reach for it and doesn't really have the ability to kind of push off and really get that. So yeah, I think it's poor from him. I think Merkin as well kind of separated from the defender, didn't know where he was, so he wasn't kind of prepared or braced to be able to absorb the impact of the attacker when he came in. So he just kind of like crumpled immediately and lost that challenge for the header. But yeah, I mean, to your point about it seemingly like few adjustments, I mean, 30 seconds into the second half, Matriciani is smoked down the right-hand side again and commits a foul. He's lucky he didn't give a free kick right in the edge of the box, and it was almost a penalty if it had happened like 2 feet later.
Yeah.
And then this play that you're talking about here, once again, is Fabian Reza just going straight towards the end line, getting, you know, the half yard of space he needs to run Matriciani and floating one to the back post. So
it's like playing FIFA online and doing the same move against the opponent every time. They can't stop it. That's what it felt like.
I mean, yeah, it just seemed like they were going to have this at will all day long, and it was going to keep, you know, resulting in high chance opportunities for them, and that's kind of what happened. So yeah, frustrating, I think, once again, in terms of the general setup, and then also as you pointed out, like, what are we doing to address the success they're having in these areas? Like, so we have to make some sort of concession somewhere to try to stop that.
And you would have thought at the minimum Gerrards would have at least figured out defensively how to help Matriciani's side, because that's getting smoked left, right, and center in this game. I mean, numerous times. You mentioned how many times in the first half, and he's continued on in the second half. There was no help for him. He was left on an island there. He was left on Riza Island, and he was getting beat, you know, beat nonstop. And it wouldn't end there. Again, in the 75th minute, again, Fabian Riza again. He sets up Florian Niederlechner. He gets a goal, another goal that maybe Mueller should have stopped, short side, pulling through his arms or something like that. 5-2. Honestly, Winkler could have had a hat-trick in this game. Tabakovic was very close to getting a hat-trick. Fabian Riza was trying to score goals. He was hungry for goals. He was the best player in the game for sure. But, I mean, my God, this was a complete meltdown, you know, hence the title of the podcast. But a complete meltdown by the team that you don't know what to expect with them. Like, we saw the Magdeburg debacle, and then we came back and gave us hope against, you know, St. Pauli and Paderborn. And then go back to the same kind of shit that we saw against Magdeburg. At least we scored goals in this game. But again, we're giving up multiple goals. No defense. It's disappointing. It's frustrating. It's confusing. It's hard to watch when a team seemingly doesn't care. I'm sure they do, but it doesn't look like they make no effort. And it came so easy for Fabian Riza and company. They just did what the hell they wanted to do and score goals at will, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably at least the third time this season we've conceded 5 goals in a match. It's terrible. I think it's 4-9 since the start of the Hinrunda. The Rookrunda, forgive me. That we've had at least 3 goals that we've conceded. You can't win football matches that way. I think we're fortunate, you know, to have gotten, you know, out of a Paderborn with a draw, whatever like that. I mean, like, the offense has picked up some slack recently, but, you know... You can have a bad defense and struggle to win games, and that defense is conceding 2 goals a game, you know, not 4, not 5. Yeah. These sorts of performances just kind of have to stop. We have to find a way to be able to stop the bleeding in matches and not allow things to get this bad. You know, I feel bad for Matriciani. This is a game where it's just a complete mismatch for him, and there's nothing he can do about the fact that he's slow, you know, and some of these things. I mean, like, that's just what it is. And if, as a team, you have no way to provide any assistance for him, that's not what we're doing. There has to be a better solution for that. So I think, I don't know, it's a failure of squad planning to some extent. I think it's a failure of setup. I'm not thrilled with Gerrards in this one, but interested to see what you think in terms of whether or not you would place any blame at all at the coach's feet on this one, or just kind of, like, once again, kind of pointed at a subpar squad that we're fighting through the season with.
I blame it on everybody, honestly. I mean, I saw people blame it on Heckelman. He was the squad planner, basically, at the beginning of the season. You blame Rice to an extent. You blame all the players who were on the pitch this weekend. Gerrards for making no adjustments whatsoever. The substitutions he made, terrible. I said, oh, Drago come in, but what? He's already down in 4-2, 5-2 at that point. Like, what's the point? I get what you're trying to do, but, like, it was just terrible. From blame goes everywhere. It's not just one person. A lot of people are saying, oh, it's Gerrards, you need to get out. But it's like, no, it's not just him. Vilmots is also part of the problem. It's everyone is at fault for this result. Now, I'm not saying, obviously, we have a lackluster team, but I think it's not a relegation team. I think it's still a team that at least should be in this fight to the league. I don't know about getting promoted, but not relegated. And as Vilmots, which we'll get to the comments later, it's like, it wasn't just one person. It was the players. It was everything in that game. I think nobody looked good outside of maybe Tirota, and even then he had 2 goals early and disappeared after that. So, and I think, you know, the fallout, obviously how we feel after this game is obviously not good. We don't know what team is going to show up from week to week, because the best teams in the league, we play really well. But we think we're going to get blown out, and then teams who are right around us on the table, we get slaughtered by. And what makes matters worse, no results that we needed this weekend went our way. Eintracht beat Paderborn 2-1. Rostock beat Greuther Fürth 1-0. Kaiserslautern drew Hannover 1-1. At least Wiesbaden lost to Hamburg yesterday. And I had to double check, because I had to make sure we didn't play on Sunday too, because I saw Karlsruhe won 7-0. I was like, oh, did we play? No, they beat Magdeburg, which is a crazy result as well. But no results went our way this weekend. And so now where we're on the table, we're still in 14th. But unfortunately, we are 2 points above the relegation spot. 2 points, which is crazy. Is where there's like 9 teams in a relegation fight at the moment, which is the Zweite Liga for you. Granted, we're 6 points from 10th place, but we're getting further and further away from 10th place and closer to a relegation spot. Every team around us is getting results.
The fourth worst goal difference in the league. It's not surprising to see where we are in the table. And yeah, I mean, it's frustrating. You have 4 points in the previous two matches, like against Paderborn and St. Pauli, which you're feeling good about after that, you know, horrific 3-0 to Magdeburg. But then you follow up with a 5-2 to Hertha Berlin. So, you know, over the course of those 4 games, it's 8-8 on goal difference. You know, you lose a couple. We're never really able to make any progress. It's been a lot of, you know, stop and start this season. And unfortunately, in the second half of the season, we needed a little bit more. So we need to pick it up a little bit. I still think we're losing a few too many games here for comfort. Like you said, we're right back, you know, within the gravity of those relegation spots. It's going to be squeaky bum time, I think, for the rest of the season, probably.
Yeah. And here's a little trivia for you. Do you know who has allowed the most goals so far this Zweite Liga season?
It wouldn't surprise me if it was Schalke. What are we at,
54. We are the worst. 54. We are the worst. Osnabrück has 53 allowed. 51 by Kaiserslautern. And then a bunch of teams in the 40s. Even and with the 7 games? Goals.
26.
What's that?
And how many games so far? 26?
26.
So, yeah, we are over 2 goals per game now that we're averaging. Yeah. Ridiculous. Not good.
So the only saving grace is the international break. So at least we don't have to endure another Schalke madness for at least 1 week. But that's some of the fallout from the game, and then some of the news that has happened came out after the game. I will first talk about Mark Vilmots. You mentioned him earlier. He came out saying there are no discussions about the head coach after the match. He was quoted as saying, "For me, there's no discussion about the head coach. We made too many individual mistakes on the pitch. That's not the coach's fault." He says, "It annoys me that people are always looking for someone to blame. It's more complex than that." Yeah, it's everybody's fault. That's my words, not his. "We lost the game together. Against St. Pauli and Paderborn, we were brave in attack. Everyone was praising the coach after that. And now everything's apparently gone to shit. It's more complex than that." And so those comments, I agree with him in the grand scheme of things. And even if the match is not just the coach's fault, the players play horribly. I'm like, he wasn't out there when they were getting undressed left, right, and center, at least first half. They should have made adjustments. So you can blame him on the second half for nothing getting corrected. But, I mean, the players are just as equally at fault. And then you look at the thing, like I said earlier, the whole season, everyone is to blame on this. I mean, what are your thoughts on Vilmots' comments?
I mean, I understand that he's trying to, you know, quiet down any potential criticism before it starts distracting the team. And he's trying to, you know, protect his manager and defend him and you know, kind of keep the focus where it needs to be. And I get that. But even if you're going to take the quote on its face in terms of, like, it always annoys me that people are looking for someone to blame. I mean, as you just said, 54 goals conceded in the Bundesliga. You know, Wiesbaden in 13th, one spot ahead of us, 20 goals fewer conceded. I mean, like, what do you mean? Like, why are people always looking for someone to blame? I mean, this is we're trying to figure out what the hell's going on, how to fix it, because it's not good. So I mean, like, I mean, there's plenty of blame to go around at the moment, and I don't know. I do think it's pretty late in the season at this point to consider axing somebody. I mean, we did it last time before we made that run, you know, promotion. So I don't anticipate that happening unless, like, the next 2 to 3 games are just 3 losses in a row.
Yeah.
Maybe he, you know, cuts them, and it's kind of like another kind of, like, you know, group coaching kind of.
Buskins, let's go.
Right, until the end of the season. But yeah, I think obviously everyone's trying to avoid that as much as possible. And I mean, I don't know how you feel about Gerrits, but it would be nice at some point to have some sort of continuity in the coaching position year to year. We were hoping we were going to get that with Rice potentially, and then he's not able to survive in this season. Hopefully, you know, if we have Gerrits in the next season, we're able to do that there too. So.
And what's so weird too about the Rice thing, I feel like he was fine, and all of a sudden out of nowhere we hit this like horrible spell where we're just getting blown out left, right, one game after another, and he's gone because he lost the team. He just lost the team at whatever point. Some people are saying that, you know, Gerrits already lost the team. I think we need continuity, like you said. I like to see him continue on and see what he's like with a whole off season to see what he can do with the squad. Eric says, you know, that cell phone has been turned off. but yeah, I know Buskins doesn't want to do it, but Yeah, I hope that they can survive. If they can stay in this fight to the league, I'd like to see them get another shot. They obviously need better management in terms of players and who they bring in and all that stuff. And I'm curious to see how the team would look, but that's a big if. Like, we're 2 points out of the relegation spot at the moment, which is unreal. And then, you know, you said Philbot's trying to quieting down the coaching rumors, but they don't stop, Jack. They don't stop. Club Brugge, one of the top Belgian teams, is looking for a new coach for next season. And Carl Gerards' name is on the list, apparently. He's being considered by Club Brugge, and the Belgians are in no rush to sign Gerards this season. I guess they're going to watch and see how Schalke turns out. That's from the Get Belgian and Dutch Football Network. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. What he did with Union Saint-Gilloise, and then what he potentially do with Schalke, what he's doing with Schalke, some of it good, some of it not so good. It wouldn't surprise me. Gerard's already come out and said, you know, I'm only focused on Schalke. I don't really care about anything else at the moment. This is what I'm focused on. So I'm not too surprised. Are you surprised by those comments from Club Brugge looking at Schalke or looking at Carl Gerards?
Yeah, a little bit, just given how things have gone since he took over Schalke, which, once again, I'm not going to lay entirely at his feet. I do think that the squad is a bad squad. Once again, talking about defensive record, it was Malik Chow and Cody Decura last time we were down here. You know, we have Schallenberg and Kalash and Matriciani we have to be realistic about what we are. I am a little bit surprised to hear that, you know, a club of that standing in Belgium is going after him, given this. I think if he is able to kind of see us to safety, then that would make a little more sense, because he'd have kind of, you know, back-to-back positives on his resume. But he wasn't able to secure, you know, a coaching position in Belgium after the success that he was on, and now he's kind of very much taking a gamble by coming here. So we'll see how it plays out.
All right, so they did have the meetings with the supervisory board talking about the financials of Schalke and how we've done over this last year or so. According to Christina Ruhl-Hammers and company, they said that Schalke was able to improve the key financial indicators for the first time since 2018. Negative equity reduced from 109.8 million euros to 103.3 million euros. So we're slowly getting out of debt. Sales increased from 157 million euros to 168.3 million euros. Net financial liabilities reduced from 139.9 million euros to 128.5. And total liabilities fell from 180 million euros to 168 million euros in the financial year. So a little bit of a segue. I mean, at this rate, we're going to get out of debt in 2052 or something like that.
Yeah, that's assuming we don't fall to, you know, the Dritte Liga. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's nice to hear. It's great that we're making some small progress. But I think for the vast majority of Schalke supporters, the immediate focus is on surviving and staying in the second division to have any chance of continuing to make that incremental progress towards, you know, financial solvency and what have you.
On that note of possible relegation, if Schalke is relegated, there is a probability of that the license conditions that there will be license conditions from the DFB, because obviously they don't want to see teams just dropping like they do. So Christina Ruhl-Hammers said she cannot answer yet the question of whether bankruptcy will have to be filed, because there are still too many unforeseeable variables. In addition, if Schalke keeps the stays in the Zweite Liga, there's a risk of a deduction of 3 points for the 25-26 season if equity cannot be increased by 5% in the 2024 calendar year. For the current season, there will still be a requirement not to reduce any equity in capital. So she went on to say that if we do survive in the Zweite Liga, next year, that she has confirmed that we'll have a similar budget as this year, which I didn't think we had this much money, but it's a little bit over 20 million euros to spend, which would be in the top three of the teams in the Zweite Liga. So that's one glimmer of hope, but it's a big if, Jack. It's like, we're 2 points out of relegation. Like, if we find a way to scrape through the season and stay in the Zweite Liga, okay, maybe we have a chance to see what Vilmots can do. But if we get relegated, I mean, that's all out the window. We're probably spending nothing at that point, and who knows what the hell is going to happen with the team.
And Vilmots sort of an unproven, you know, person in that kind of a role to begin with. Yep. So, lots of questions. I'm sure we'll figure it out if we can maintain safety. But, you know, for me, it's really just all about that. So I'm going to be incredibly nervous the rest of the season until I feel like we've got something locked up. As I've said repeatedly, I didn't expect this to go well. I expected us to probably end somewhere mid-table. But, like, this is stretched out a little bit longer than I would have anticipated with us being this close to things going south. So I would have liked to have been, you know, 11th, 12th by now with a few points cushion kind of a thing, and that's not what's happening. So
it felt like we had that last week, and then this week it went everything against us.
It's 3 points from automatic relegation.
Yeah.
At the moment.
Yeah, unreal.
It's too close for comfort.
Well, you would think we'd do better, at least in terms of player personnel and how we were so bad at the, you know, signing players, not getting money back for the players we bought and then trying to sell them. Since 2021, players that we've bought, Rodrigo Salazar, we bought for 1.5 million euros, and we turned him around for a pretty good profit there. Thomas Olion, we bought for 2 million euros. Probably going to lose him on a free. Schallenberg, we bought him 2 million. I doubt we can sell him. Poulter, we bought him for 1.5 million. We're going to lose him probably for free. And Tobias Moore, 1.1 million euros we spent on him. And, you know, again, I don't see anybody coming, trying to grab him and Poulter up. So I don't know if we've done any better in that regard. So I don't know. But shockingly, or believe it or not, with all this stuff going on, there's actually some call-ups for Schalke this international break. Darko Chrlinov gets called up from Macedonia, North Macedonia, Blendi Drizi. Getting called up, Ibrahim Asise get called up to his native country, as well as Kiki Top and Yusuf Kabadai. They all have been called up. So it's all the youngsters. Our team is mostly youngsters, but yeah, they get some playing time. Hopefully no one gets injured, right? That's been was the big thing for our players.
And how could you not call him up after that goal against Paderborn, Kiki Top? I mean,
it was beautiful.
Pretty ridiculous.
I like how Schalke's social media, knowing how bad the game was, you know, this weekend, like, let's just show the Kiki Top goal, hoping people forget about the game. Look how pretty it was. It was a nice goal, but I mean, like, damn. So anyway, that's it. As mentioned before, we are on the international break. I was almost at international waters. But international break. No Schalke, thankfully, for one week at least. Next game, March 31st against Karlsruhe. Yeah, the team who just beat Magdeburg 7-0. But my question for you, Jack, is what are you doing during the international break now that you have no Schalke?
Mentally preparing myself for the home stretch of Schalke, which I said will likely be very emotionally arduous. No, I have a gig in Rigbyville this upcoming Saturday, so I'll be playing with the band at Kelly Bear in Chicago. Feel free to come on out. For some reason, anybody's listening to this and is in the Chicagoland area. Yeah, how about you?
What am I doing? Just hanging out. I probably got to do a lot of lawn work, fun stuff, but nothing really crazy. I'm going to try to enjoy no Schalke and just relax and get outside, maybe bike or do something outdoors. I don't know. The weather, hopefully it'll be nice. So yeah, that's what I'll be doing. Get away from computer and stuff and kind of be outside. So that's my goal at least.
Yeah, you and your relaxing, leisurely 25-mile bike rides, you know.
That's what Schalke does to me. Okay, I need to relieve that stress somehow. All right, let's get on out of here and get on international break. Jack, where can our followers find you on social media?
At JMMangan, JMMANGAN on Twitter.
You can follow me at r_kharman. But more importantly, follow us, Schalke America, anywhere across social media. If you're watching this video or listen to this podcast, make sure you go to YouTube and like the video. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please do subscribe. But you can follow us all across social media. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find us there as well. We typically record Monday nights, unless we tell you otherwise. But no podcasts during the international break. Like we mentioned. So we will catch you in a couple weeks after the Karlsruhe match. Hopefully it's a Blue Monday, not in the misery kind of way, but time will tell. All right, for Jack in Chicagoland, for myself, we'll catch you guys very soon. Enjoy the break. Glück auf.